Turn to Psalm 133, please. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, the glory. I want to welcome everybody here tonight. Those of you who are obedient, it's good. Hallelujah. Woo! Yeah, I was told I couldn't walk probably for a few weeks and maybe up to 3 months. Hallelujah. They don't know my doctor. Glory to God. Psalm 133, would you read it together with me? Behold how good and how pleasant it is. Say it again. Behold how good and how pleasant it is. Come on, say it again. Behold how good and how pleasant it is. Come on, say it again. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's what? It's good and pleasant. Well, what more do you want? It's good and pleasant for brothers to dwell in unity. So guess who don't want you to dwell in unity? The devil. Hello. How good and pleasant it is to dwell in unity. Isn't it wonderful when you have peace with everyone? And isn't it miserable when you're struggling with other people? It's just, you know, flesh attack. Associated with a spirit that's unknown to the individual. Hello, my flesh is bigger than yours. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron. Aaron was the priest. Are you priests? Amen. The oil represents the anointing. Running down on the edge of his garments, meaning complete change. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore. He commanded the blessing. First of all, he says, man, how good and how pleasant it is. Well, see, there's something higher than good and pleasant. It's called blessing. Blessing. He said, listen, if you'll get in unity... Amen? If you'll get in unity with one another, there's going to be a special blessing. Not only will it be good and pleasant because God honors it, right? But there's a special blessing. In other words, there's an impartation. Is everybody with me? There is an impartation. What he's saying here, now listen, this is important. Association brings impartation. Say it with me. Association brings impartation. Now the Bible tells us that every one of us has an anointing. Amen? But let me tell you, the devil wants to steal it. And he can. Because the Bible says he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. So you know that he's going to try to put the flame out. He tries to put you back to lukewarm, because in the Bible says God will spit you out if you're lukewarm. The Lord wants us to be hot. Hot. One of the things that will affect your hotness is your association. One of the things that will affect the anointing in your life is your association. Go to Romans 1. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. There's a special impartation of the anointing. Romans chapter 1. Say, everybody say again, association brings impartation. Woo-hoo. Come on, I didn't hear woo-hoo. Glory to God. In verse 8. Come on, read it with me. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Wouldn't it be nice for your faith to be spoken through the whole world? For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. I love that. I serve with my what? Spirit. Ooh, glory. That without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by some means now, at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may what? Impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. What was he saying? Association brings what? Impartation. He's saying, listen, I want to bring something to you. Why? Because the anointing that was on Paul's life, he wanted to bring something. Amen? Listen, everybody has an anointing. There's the presence of God and there's the anointing, isn't there? The anointing that's on us. Let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, I change. I change for service. Amen? When the Holy Spirit came upon me, I was able to get up and walk around this place. Hello. Before I was able to come here, I could not stand. The pain was too excruciating. I had to come to this thing with assistance. But I will leave this place with no assistance. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, why? The anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. There's an impartation in the anointing of God. Because the anointing is actually God's glory. You change in God's glory. Amen. You carry his presence, but you change in God's glory. Something happens. That's why it's good for brethren to dwell together. Because there's a special unity of the anointing that changes us. Everybody is changed right now. You're able to focus more. Your heart's changed right now. In fact, you're hungry to receive from the throne room of God. Because his presence within you is stirred up and his glory is here. Is everybody on it? See, what happens is when we come together, we bring God's throne here. You don't have to go there. Why? Because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're already the temple of God. The throne is already in you. Now what's happened? It's come out of you. So everybody can share the throne. Amen. So there's something that happens. So what happens is Paul was bringing something to them. He says, listen, my association, the presence that I bring, the glory that I bring, will bring an impartation to you. And everybody's presence of God, when we all come together, will bring an impartation. It's like bringing not just one cup, but a bucket of God's presence. Amen. So, what's happening right now? There's an impartation. You may not even understand it. In fact, God is telling you some things right now. There's some things that some of us, he's saying, you know, you really need to do this. And you really need to lay this down. And some of y'all, you know, you need to forget and forgive this person. Why? Because he's trying to make more room. He's trying to squeeze out darkness and bring in light. Some of you, it's like, you know what? I really need to come to more. Amen. Why? Because there's an impartation. The more you come together, the more there's an impartation. Listen, when I got born again, and I was associated with Benny Hinn, I went to every service and everything I could. Why? Because I wanted an impartation. I went to every morning prayer. I mean, I was a part of that place. There was something that I wanted. It wasn't about a man. It was about God I wanted. But the man of God was carrying something I wanted. And I went after. And I fought. And I did everything I could to come to every function and everything to get into God's presence because I knew that unity, there was a special anointing. And there was an impartation every time. I never knew what was going to happen. Sometimes I didn't even think something happened. I wasn't sure. But later I would realize that there was an impartation. Every time we gather together, there's an impartation. But if your heart is so hardened, you'll reject God's presence. Amen? You can reject anything from God. That's why the Bible says, those who thirst and hunger shall be filled. For His righteousness. Why? Because you want everything He's got for you. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Oh, to God be the glory. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Don't leave us, please. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Come on, Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit. Want more of you, Holy Spirit. Let Jesus be alive in us. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Glory to God in verse 1. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? And Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over His inheritance?" He was anointing King Saul. Samuel was carrying the presence of God, wasn't he? He anointed Saul. He was doing an impartation. Association brings what? Impartation. Now look at, after he was anointed, and the Lord said to him, "Listen, all right, you are anointed by Samuel. Now I want you to go hang out with some prophets." So there's a birth of the impartation. Is everybody with me? Okay, then go to verse 5. "And after that you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of" what? "Prophets coming down from the high place with stringed instruments, a tambourine and a flute and a harp before them. And they will be prophesying." See, they already went up and did the offerings. See, they already gave an offering and got imparted. Now they were coming down from the high places. And the stringed instruments and so forth were going before them. The anointing was still being carried, and they were prophesying. And verse 6, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man." Now listen. See, as you participate, even when we come together, some people are still caught up in the day. They're still caught up in themselves. They're still caught up in their work. They're still caught up in their tiredness. They're still caught up in how they feel. They're still caught up in what they think. They're still caught up in the things that they're supposed to do. They're still caught up in the things of their past. If you stay caught up, you'll miss. You miss God. You miss the visitation. That's why it's so important when we come together that you focus. You make yourself focus. See, you've already been anointed, right? Now you want to maintain that anointing. You want to upkeep it. So what happens is, what you associate with is what you receive or gets imparted in you. He said, go hang out. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. That's good. But he said, listen, you got to participate now when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. When you prophesy is when you'll be turned into a new man. Does everybody got it? What was he doing? He was cooperating, wasn't he? So when you and I come together, if you're not worshiping the Lord and pressing in, you miss God. So concerned and worried what you got to do and what you're supposed to do. But what you're supposed to do right then and there. Hello. Praise God. Go to Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. Association brings what? Impartation. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 1, read it with me. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long are you going to mourn for Saul? I'd say he got rebuked. The Lord rebuked Samuel. Quit mourning for Saul. Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel, fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. He provided himself, not the people. He provided himself a king. Hello. See, too many people think that offices are for people. Hello. People think it's a spotlight. It's not a spotlight. It's God who appoints people for Him. Amen? For Him. Oh, hallelujah. Now, something happens here. Go to verse 13. So the Lord anoints David. It says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Amen? Now we'll go to verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Let me share something with you. When you go over your boundaries, the Holy Ghost doesn't go with you. The Spirit, that devil will be waiting for you. He's called a familiar spirit. He loves to pretend like he's the Holy Ghost. You go beyond your boundaries, the impartation will get stolen. See, you must protect the impartation. Every association that you have will either cooperate, enhance the impartation, water it, or cause it to be stolen or dried up. Is everybody with me? See, David was anointed king, but the anointing left Saul. And a distressing spirit came because Saul went over his boundaries. He became disobedient. Go to Samuel, 1 Samuel 22. David became king, right? Cool. And in verse 1, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. Now listen, Saul was chasing David because he was actually chasing the anointing that was taken away from him. He didn't understand. Saul didn't even understand why he was chasing David. For some reason, all of a sudden, he hated him. Because he was chasing the anointing that was taken from him. See, while Saul was king, David ministered to him. Because David carried the anointing of kingship. That's how Saul continued to exist. Once Saul turned against his own anointing, hello? Because Saul associated with things he wasn't supposed to, he began to hate the anointing and didn't even understand why. He began to chase it. He thought it was David. But it was the presence of God, of the offices that he really wanted. But he began to hate it because it was on another man. Amen? And he began to chase it. So David was on the run. But David had the anointing. What was David doing? Protecting the anointing. Oh, come on, get it now. What was he doing? Protecting the anointing. So many people go, man, why didn't he just turn around and kill Saul? Because he couldn't. He was still king. It would have destroyed the anointing on him. He still had to respect the office regardless of whether the anointing lifted from that office or not. He would have killed Saul. The anointing on his life would have lifted. Hello? Why? Because he would have gone beyond his boundaries. He acknowledged and respected that office, even though it was unrighteous, even though it was defiled. But he chose not to associate it with anymore, right? Hello? You know, it blows my mind in how many people still go to churches where the pastors are fornicating and so forth. And they say, well, I'm going to pray for the pastor. No, you're to depart from that place. You're to depart from there. Hello? People are going to, dead churches. Association brings what? Impartation. You want to be dead? Go to a dead church. You'll get right imparted with it. Does everybody understand that? You want to go to a religious church? You become religious. You become self-righteous and prideful. And then you go by your works. Then there's me, myself, and I. Well, let's see, I did this, I did that, I did whatever. I should be okay. And lose relationship. And measure your relationship with God by your works instead of your love. It's different. Totally different. That's what was going on with Saul. He became religious. He thought, and then he tried to help God. He went beyond his boundaries. God lifted his presence from him, put it on David. Then Saul hated David. But in the meantime, before that happened, David had to be around Saul to fulfill Saul's office as king, because the anointing still had to be. That's why David became his armor bearer. Hello? That's why David was close to Saul. Now it wasn't Saul imparting in David, it was David imparting in Saul. Once the association left, there was no impartation anymore. Saul began to chase David. Is everybody with me? Okay, good. Hallelujah. Now check this out. This is powerful. Go to verse 2. All right. So now, David is on the run because he's protecting the anointing. Amen? He didn't want to kill Saul. All right. Now his father heard it. Now he was a cave dweller now. How many of y'all been cave dwellers? Been cave dwellers for the last 13 years. Don't worry about it. Hallelujah. And so his family found out where he was, his brothers, and they heard, and they went down to go see him. And everyone who was in what? Verse 2. Look at verse 2. This is powerful. And everyone who was what? In distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 with him. Now these were people that were outcasts. Drug addicts, alcoholics, you name it, they were out there. Amen? And they came, right? They came to where the anointing was on David. Now let me share something with you, and I'm not going to go to all these scriptures. David, because of association, hello? Because of association, there was an impartation, and these men that were outcasts of the world, a nobody and everything, became warriors and fought right alongside with David and kicked butt. And then served him as king when he became king. Because of the association. Has everybody got it? Because of the association. Because association brings impartation. Oh, hallelujah. Acts 4. Glory to God. Udarabakasia shotukosoteklia. Ibarobokopatachalamia. Jesus, my Redeemer. Jesus, my Healer. Jesus, King of Kings. Acts chapter 4, and we'll start somewhere, probably verse 13. It sounds good. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, hello, untrained men, boneheads, outcasts, labeled from the world as drug addicts and alcoholics, ding-dongs and everything else, they marveled. They were like, what? And then they realized that they had been associated with Jesus. Whoa. That's right. I know who their association is with. Whoa. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. See, because you become sign and wonders. Why? Because association brings what? Impartation. Oh, hallelujah. Now, there will be people who will say, they'll try and come against it. They'll try to deny your change. They'll try to drain you. They'll try to call you a cult because you understand more of the things of the Spirit than they do. And because they're bound by religion and the Spirit and anointing of Saul instead of that of David. Hello? They won't be able to understand the deep things of God. And they won't want to associate with you because they're afraid of their exposure. And they don't even know it. Oh, hallelujah. Exodus 3. Why? Because light exposes darkness. Glory to God. Association brings impartation. Exodus 3. Be quiet, devil. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and all that is within me bless His holy name. For You alone are holy, You alone are worthy. Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. Now his father-in-law was a what? Priest. Association brings what? Impartation. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. He was hanging out at the mountain of God. Association brings what? Impartation. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of the fire in the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that, He turned aside to look. Association brings what? Impartation. Watch. Soon as Moses was out there, he sees the bush. He's associating with the glory of God. When he begins to go to it, the Lord acknowledges it. And then God, what? Called him. You don't think there was an impartation? You betcha. When God calls your name, bam. Just recently, I mean, it happened to me twice last night. Guy, what? I thought it was my wife. Then it happened again this morning, twice last night. And it was like, what? I was like, to me it was like, just wanted you to know I was here. Well, can I go to sleep now? Thank you. I acknowledge you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, there was no fear, so I knew it wasn't a demon trying to interrupt my sleep. My dad can interrupt my sleep anytime. Hallelujah. So you see something very powerful happened here. So he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Ooh. Association brought impartation, established communion. Association brought impartation and established communion. Then he said, do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet. A relationship already began. Submission and obedience. Counsel, correction, and direction also was being imparted. Moses was like, okay, you don't think he kicked those babies off quick? I bet you. They were gone. He said, you're on holy ground. Ooh! Man, we'd have jumped 15 feet, threw them off, did a 1.5 gainer, and landed on holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now listen, he meant his real father. I am the God of your father. He wasn't talking about Abraham. Why? Because he mentions Abraham. He was talking about his real father. You got to remember, Moses was brought up by who? Pharaoh. I am the God of your father, the one who worships me, your real father. Man, things began to, God brought revelation to Moses. Me, my father, my Hebrew father, you're the God of him? Yes, I am his God. Whoa, now all of a sudden there's a family tie going on here. There's a severance of a family of the world and a family of the Spirit. Why? Because of association and impartation. I am the God of your father, your daddy, your earthly father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob. And Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Who came down? God came down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Hello? Good. And to bring them up from that land to a good land and large land, to the land of flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites. The Hivites, the Bidites, the Lassites, and the Nightlites, and the Jezebites. And the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now wait a minute. God just said, I came to deliver them. You know, Moses is going, wow, I wonder how he's going to do this. Oh, this is cool. You come to deliver them. All right. What's happening? Show me how you're going to do it. He says, I'm going to send you. Wait a minute. Association brings what? Impartation. God was the deliverer. Because of his association with Moses, Moses got imparted to become the deliverer. Hello? Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses was imparted with association. Is everybody with me? Go to Numbers 27. Ooh, hallelujah. Are you getting this? Association brings impartation. Thank you, Master. In verse 15, then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd, because Moses was about to go home. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar, the priests and before all the congregation and inaugurate him in their sight. In other words, anoint him, ordain him. And you shall give some of your authority to him. Not all of it, because he wasn't gone yet, but some of it. That all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in. And he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. What was there? There was an impartation, wasn't there? Why? Association brings what? Impartation. See, it must be ordained by God. Just going to a place and getting your hands laid on them is not an impartation if it's not ordained by God. There's a lot of people running around thinking, well, I got the anointing and this, I got the anointing and that, I got the... No, because the anointing comes with service. You just don't go to a place and get your hands laid on and get an impartation and that's that. No, it comes with service. Joshua served Moses the office of God. We got a wonderful teaching called Anointed Bones. It's excellent. I encourage you to get it. It'll give more of an understanding. Joshua became like Moses. But the fullness of Moses was not imparted in him, was it? Instead, that he may have a part of his authority, some of his authority, but not all of it, because Moses wasn't gone yet. Hallelujah. Go to 2 Kings chapter 2. There's more. I'm going to do a little skipping around here. We'll be here till midnight. Although, maybe one time we should be. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 2. It's just for me and you. Hey, boo-boo. Aren't you glad we're not religious? Oh, the glory. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 2. And start at verse something. Let's see here. Oh, start at verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. And I'm not going to go into this whole teaching. But I want you to understand that Elijah said to Elijah, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elijah said, as the Lord lives, your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. We see that association brings what? Impartation. So Elisha said, no way. I know what I associate with. I know what's on you, and I want what's on you. So Elisha became the servant to Elijah. And he got what he asked for. The what? Double portion. Amen. Now you and I should have more than double portion, because we have Jesus. Amen. But there's a place and fulfillment that God is bringing us to. Obedience brings God's presence. Faithfulness brings God's glory. Hello? So we see here that association brought impartation. Go to Psalm 1. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm chapter 1. Would you read it with me? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, what kind of association was this? Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He's saying, listen, don't associate with them. Be careful. Why? Because you're to protect the anointing of your life. Does everybody understand it? Let me share something with you, very important. The anointing that's on your life is associated with your destiny. You must be careful who you share your destiny with. You be careful who's close to you and who isn't. There are people that I won't allow to get close to me. I don't have a lot of friends. My wife and I don't fellowship with a lot of people. What are we doing? We're protecting the anointing until individuals become like-minded. Does everybody understand that? Where they want to share your destiny instead of steal from your destiny. Instead of abuse your destiny or use your destiny. You be careful who you allow in your life. You just don't share your destiny with anybody. Amen? There's a difference in service. There's a difference in ministry compared to those who are close to you. Amen? To those who are close to you. You be careful. Because individuals will try to use your destiny to get to their own destiny. Amen? And they can't fulfill their destiny because they're doing it out of order. Is everybody with me? Praise God. So he says, listen, don't associate or make sure that here's association. Don't walk with ungodly counsel. Don't stand in the path of sinners and don't sit with those who are scornful. Why? Association brings impartation. Bad association will bring a bad impartation. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Verse 24. Ooh, powerful, powerful. Come on. Is everybody there? Proverbs 22, 24. Read it with me. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. But I'm trying to rescue that person. You better rescue that person from a distance. Don't become friends with that person. Amen? Be an example to that person. You know, it's so important. I get individuals that ask me certain questions, and that's good. I'm not about their walk and so forth. And some individuals will come and it's good. And I see growth in individuals. And I'm not going to mention any names or anything. But I had a brother come to me a while back and ask me how to handle something in one of the houses. And the question was very valid. And one of the things the Spirit shared with me was, be the example. Don't tell people what to do. Tell them to follow. You understand? Jesus didn't tell people what to do. He said, follow me. See, that's association with brings impartation, doesn't it? Telling people what to do all the time is not association. Telling them to follow you is association. So always telling somebody what they need to do, hello, without being the example, is the wrong impartation. That's hypocrite impartation. That's deceptive. That's corruptible seed. You can't tell someone what to do if you can't do it yourself. Amen? Make no friends with an angry, jealous, envious person. Perverse, foul mouth, whatever. Make no friends. Lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Bad association. Go to Proverbs 24 while we're here. In verse 1. Would you read it with me? Do not be envious of evil men, nor what? desire to be with them. You know, the devil always tries to bring you to areas of your past or whatever. Man, you know, I sure wish I was. There you are wishing again. For their heart devises violence and their lips talk of troublemaking. Bad associations. You know somebody that's rebellious? Don't hang with them. Walk away. You don't have to fix them. Hello? Stick the Holy Ghost on them. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Thank you, my Lord. First Corinthians chapter 5. We got too many fixer-uppers. First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. And the Bible says something very powerful. Do not throw your pearl before swine. Don't throw your pearls before swine. Association. You know, the devil wants you to share all these holy things with individuals. You must be led, not misled. You must be led. Because the devil will turn that thing around and trample it if it's not God. I was in my doctor's office today, who was sharing with me about a period of time I won't walk. And I started giving him, I was just led to give him my testimony. And I share with him about, because I share with him what we do and so forth. He says, oh. And he said, I heard something else. I said, yeah, I share with him about 13 years ago I had an encounter with the Lord. He says, oh, like Paul. I said, just like Paul. And we got to chat a little bit more, but there was association and an impartation. Do you know what I'm saying? There was something that was imparted right then. Because somebody else had already shared something with him. And it was just recent. So he got another, some plant and some water. But you got to be careful who you throw your pearls before, for they are trampling them. Amen? Now, there's a difference when you're handing testimonies and you're in fellowship with congregation. But then when you're out in the street and you're going to places, you be careful. You be careful. You make sure you are led and not misled. There's a time to speak and a time to be quiet. Because you know what? Especially with actions, that's why let them follow you. Don't tell them what to do. Let them follow you. Now, there's times when you don't even realize what's going on. You don't know, but if you're led correctly, you'll find out later what was going on. You know, I had a young lady after a service come up to me, and she had an accursed item on. And I shared something with her. I was led to. And her whole thing was, I'm not going to take it off. I wasn't asking her to take it off. My heart was just to let her know that it's witchcraft. That's it. She kept saying, I'm not going to take it off. And I was just going to let it go. And then anointing came upon me, and I looked at her, and I said, I guarantee you, you will take it off. And that was that. And then I gave her a scripture. Come to find out, she left the church. Ended up, I believe, calling her daughter, asking about the scripture because she was seeking. Does everybody understand that? She was already seeking. So here was an impartation because of association that was bringing revelation to her, something she didn't know which is about to bring her up to another level of understanding the things of the Spirit. I didn't know that, but God knew that. Does everybody understand that? Praise God. That's why you must be led and not misled. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, Paul writes, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexual immoral people. You hang around a lot of people that their eyes are always looking at the opposite sex, speaking about the opposite sex. They got a problem. There's a problem. The Bible says, don't hang with them. But I live with them. Rebuke them. Tell them. And your mouth is perverse and your eyes are filled with lust. Amen? Hallelujah. Keep no company with these individuals. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexual immoral people of this world. He wasn't talking about worldly people. Or with the covetous or the extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a what? Brother. He's talking about the born-again believer who is sexually immoral or covetous or idolater or reviler or drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Hello? He's saying, get away from him. Don't do it. Why? Because then you promote what they do. And what happens is your anointing will be at risk. Because what you sow is what you what? Reap. Hello. Don't keep company. Go to Romans 16. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? You going to protect the presence of God and the anointing and the destiny that God has placed in you? The Bible says wisdom is to depart from evil, isn't it? Romans 16, verse 17. Read it with me. Now I urge you, brethren, know those who what? Cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned and what? Avoid them. Don't keep company with them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, their own desires, their own destiny. And by smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple or babies. For your obedience has become known to all, therefore I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. You're fanning your neighbors. Turn them real fast and you fan your neighbors. Verse 25. Would you read it with me, please? Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may what? Impart grace to the hearers. Why? Because he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That's the anointing, isn't it? Understand this. Your words can grieve the Holy Spirit, which your own words can affect your own anointing. Amen? Your own words can affect your own anointing. When you're downcast, when you begin to speak about individuals, when you begin to curse, when you begin to whatever, let me tell you, the anointing will lift. The Holy Spirit will have no association with that. So everybody got it. Did you ever get around somebody who's angry and they cuss? Somebody who claims to be a believer because they didn't get their way? The anointing just lifted. Poof. And they just sowed corruptible seeds into themselves. And now it's up to the Holy Spirit and how He's going to return to that arena and that relationship and association. See, the closer you are to God, the easier it is to offend Him. The closer you are to God, the easier it is to offend Him. Because He works in His Word. Association brings what? Listen, the more you associate with Him, the more He imparts in you. When you start doing goofy things, He doesn't want to associate with that. The Bible says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But He doesn't want to associate with fornication. He doesn't want to associate with lying. He doesn't want to associate with deception. He doesn't want to associate with greed. He doesn't want to associate with me, myself, and I. Pride. When that association begins to back off, another association begins to get closer. And it ain't your dad. Now He wants to begin to impart with you. He wants us. That's why people have a tendency to run towards the world. Because they've now lost the association with the presence of God and began to associate with the presence of darkness. And don't even know it. And they tickle them. Here, let's get some goosebumps. Come here, familiar spirit. You who pretend to be the Holy Ghost. And you who always interrupt God. God never interrupts Himself. Never. When He tells you to do something, He doesn't just come and say, no, don't do that no more. He's a God of completion and perfection. He never interrupts Himself. Never. Because He's perfect. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. You all right? Associate brings what? Impartation. Cool. He says, verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to move a little quicker, so bear with me. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 33. Everybody knows this. If you don't, you will tonight. Is everybody there? Read it with me. Do not be what? Deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. And I speak this to their shame. I speak this to their shame because of their associations. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Man, you know what God wants you to do. You know the association God wants you to have and the ones He don't want you to have. You know it, and you know it because the anointing that's on you, you know all things. You know it. It's up to you to choose to obey or not. Whether that anointing will lift from you. Or increase in you. 2 Corinthians 6. Oh, hallelujah. Got real quiet in here. Everybody's thinking, man, I know I got to be it. I got to let that go. I got to stop doing this. Now, listen, I'm talking about association by phone. Hello? Association by movies? Association means everything you associate with. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Read it with me. Do not what? Be unevenly yoked together with what? Unbelievers. For what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion is light with darkness? And what accord is Christ with Belial? Or what part is a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement is the temple of God with idols? For you are the living temple of God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I'll walk among them. I'll be their God. And they shall be my people if they come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch or associate with unclean things. Then I'll receive you and I'll be your daddy. Praise God. 2 John chapter 1. 2 John chapter 1. Praise you, Lord. 2 John chapter 1. 2 John chapter 1. Hallelujah. What am I talking about? 2 John chapter 1. It's real simple. There's only one chapter. Praise God. In verse 10. Okay, start at verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Ooh. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ is both the Father and the Son. And if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Association of doctrine. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. What did he want to do? He wanted to associate and bring impartation. Obviously, somebody was twisting the scriptures. And he was telling him, listen, you know what you've been taught. You know what you've been taught. If anybody else comes to you with another Jesus, walk away. Don't associate with them. Don't let it be imparted. Don't even read it. Amen. False doctrine. Go to Proverbs 13. Hallelujah. Praise God. Proverbs 13. Thank you, Master. Verse 20, I believe. Would you read it with me? He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be what? Destroyed. That's why you want to associate with those with a pure heart, who want to serve God, who love God, not use God, not have their own agenda or their own destinies, but are surrendered to the will of God. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Walk with the wise. You know, when I was being brought up as a baby in Christ, I hung around with others. I hung around all those who were wise. Most of my friends that I associated were elders. I was a baby. My wife and I were babies with them. We hung around with them every single day. That's where we went. There was a tremendous impartation. I hung around with those who knew the Lord, knew the power and the anointing of Christ. I didn't hang around with those who didn't. I didn't go to no religious stuff. I went where God's glory was. That's what I wanted, where God's presence and His glory and His truth was. And I hung around with those who had the same, who were like hearted. Amen? Like-hearted. Hallelujah. Not about chasing money, not about chasing anything, but chasing God. God chasers. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. See, I want to share something very important. That is a part of your destiny. To associate with God's anointed. Does everybody understand that? That's a part of your destiny. You're fulfilling your destiny. Why? Because you can't go any further without God's presence. You can't get deeper in the Spirit. But the enemy who tried to compromise, bring laziness and everything else, and a form of religion. But then people walk and are led just about by the letter. They justify everything by the letter. But yet they're dry as bones. Dry bones. No impartation. In fact, you hang around with them, you become dry too. Did you ever get around somebody that's religious? Man, you sense it. You want to lay hands on them. You know, they become so religious, it's ridiculous. People who have been walking in God's presence begin to get swayed from the Holy of Holies to the holy place and then to the outer courts. And eventually, right out. Because of the anointing. They're looking for association. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Is everybody there? Good, I'll be right there. Hallelujah. Here, Thessie. And verse... Oh, it started first somewhere. Let's start at verse 6. Would you read it with me? But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we did not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians 5. Almost done. Hang in there. Your popcorn is waiting. Some of you are all drooling. Yeah. In verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Hallelujah. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Psalm 34. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Papa. How many of y'all have been tested from last Tuesday's teaching? All things work to the good. Hello. That's all I've been saying since Sunday. All things work to the good. Hallelujah. Psalm 34. Let's see. Verse 7. Talk about association. Look at this. Read it with me. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Ooh, so you have an angel of the Lord. Now, an angel of the Lord, one angel can kill 185,000 people. And you have a legion that's working on your behalf, which is over 2,000. One can kill 185,000 humans. But there's one that encamps around you as you reverence the Lord. See, that's association. And what you're doing is causing spiritual association with you. Everybody got it? Ooh, hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 4. And we'll close here. Oh, hallelujah. Association brings what? Impartation. First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know that what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Praise be to God. Amen. Association brings what? Impartation. That's why it's good to shake the dust off every single day. What you associate with will sway you. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. We applied the blood of Jesus on this seat, and Lord, we repent for any ungodly associations and ungodly soul ties. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would sever us from all of those things as we take our authority and break them from us in the name of Jesus, and sever them and commit them to you, that the associations of godliness would be around us, and that we would be careful using the wisdom that you've given us and the things we speak, the things we see, the things we hear, and the things that we think. And we promise to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.